Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing today? Man, it's gorgeous out there. We've got a nice rain, protection from the wind, storms, all that. Good to be back here today. Let me see here. How about we turn to 394 and let's stand. 394. Has for sin atonement made. Savior, we are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior! What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. Thank you for the rain, Lord, protection. All that we did last week, Lord, you were there. The daily provision, Lord, the safety. Thank you for it all. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. Pray for our leaders, Lord, they might turn to you for what they need in guiding our nation. Pray for the upcoming election, Lord, that it would go in a way that you'd see fit and know that it will. Be with us, Lord, as we may have decisions to make there. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, his wife and their family, all that are here today. Pastor's plan on preaching here today, Lord. I pray that you'd be with him, guide him, direct him, Give him the strength he needs, Lord, to deliver that message you laid in his heart today. I pray it fall on ears that really need to hear it today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd stay awake, be attentive during this upcoming preaching, Lord, that we might get something out of this message today, Lord, that might touch a heart, touch someone's life, Lord, in some way. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me see. How about 204, please? 204.
It may be at dawn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Oh, shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance at the blackness of glory, when Jesus receives his own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. While hosts cry Hosanna from heaven descending, with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow like a halo of glory, will Jesus receive his own. Shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh, joy, oh, delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Thank you. See, tonight, 6 o'clock, start evening service. What should you expect from your pastor? Part 2, pretty good last week. Don't forget, show up. Wilton Bible Study, November 10th. Iron sharpens iron on the 19th. Personal evangelism, 15th and the 29th. No service Wednesday, the 23rd, because we're going to obviously celebrate Thanksgiving that week. But before that, we're having a Thanksgiving service at Walnut Park Baptist Church, November 20th at 4:30 in the evening. Praise and pie. November 11th, Veterans Day tribute at Monument or City Hall, if inclement, weather, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then meet on, we're going to meet on the 11th of this month, 12th, which would be this week, 22nd, to pack food boxes at 8 in the morning. Handout will be on the same day from 9-11. Got some families we're going to give to help them out for Thanksgiving. Appreciate that. Pastor's thought for the week, the ultimate eye exam. Are you focused on Jesus or yourself? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day, Lord. The sun just broke through. Appreciate that so much, Lord. Thank you for our church, Lord, our church family. There's a few sick yet today, Lord. I pray you might touch those folks, make them well, and get them back here again with us soon. Thanks for those, Lord, that have been away, showed up today, Lord. Thank you for that. Just good to see the folks here with us today. Lord, we're going to take up an offer now. I just ask you to be with the gift and givers to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Autumn and Ellie's going to lead us just a bit.
Good morning. This is a song we've done a few times now. Is He Worthy? We're just going to help everybody out with it. Eleanor, are you going to lead him in the verse? Okay, which side do you want to do the verse? This side or this side? Okay, you guys have the honor of singing the verse of the song first. We'll do the answer to the questions. And then we'll switch, and the rest of the song we'll sing together. Okay, and let's stand and sing together this praise to the Lord today.
Thank you. morning, everyone. Please be seated. Wonderful! What a wonderful day God has given us today. It's nice to see a good number out today, ready to praise God and to be fed on His Word and to consider His greatness. And indeed, He is worthy of all of our accolades. I want to tell you this morning. I am glad for anyone that's here, but especially for anyone that might be visiting with us. We're always thankful for people who come through our doors, and I want you to know you're welcome here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Fruitland Baptist Church has its struggles and its problems, but I do know this. We ought to be very thankful for this church because it is founded on the rock who is Jesus Christ and upon His Word. And that is something there that we ought to be very thankful for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I." Now, I do need to get my bulletin out here, but I also know that this is a big week in the lives of United States citizens and those that have been given a great privilege to vote, a constitutional right here in the United States of America. And no, I don't tell anyone how to vote, and you're not going to tell me how to vote, but I'll tell you this, God will. And what He tells us in His Word is that to whom much is given, much is required. So if you cast your vote and you have the opportunity to vote, and always remember this, you can write someone in. You know, we don't have to choose the lesser of two evils, but we will stand before the God of the Bible one day in judgment for what we've done with the things He's given us. So this Tuesday, November 8th, is Election Day here in the United States of America. Please exercise that, and God will give you the guidance of what to do and how to do it. Anyway, welcome to everyone. Hey, we had a little wind yesterday, a little bit of rain, but you know what? God is good, and just as we always know, He is the Son of God, and out came the S-U-N today as we celebrate His resurrection. That's why we gather today, folks. It's not just an exercise in pew polishing. There is a purpose that the early believers had, and that was indeed to come and to commemorate the living Lord. And may your faith be alive today. And some of those songs we sang sounded kind of dull this morning, like I don't know if people are really looking, but I'll tell you what, I believe this, Jesus may be showing up one day in the clouds very soon. And He is working His plan, and He will be right on time. We ought to be at the edge of our seats. We ought to be interested in gathering with our fellow believers, because let me tell you, eternity is a long time to be together in heaven. How many of you are looking forward to that, though? It'll be all different. Everything will be made new. Praise God. Well, the title of our message today is a requested message, and I probably will reveal who requested it, unless she has a problem, but she's up here in about the fourth row, and her name's Brenda. I could have said Ginger, but that would be a lie. But But the title of our message today is a requested message on how the Amish religion compares to biblical Christianity. And this is the second part of our series on this. It will be the last message for now, at least. There is a handout that goes with the six key points. There are some extras back on the table. I know I'm not supposed to point. But if you don't have one of those of how you can quickly assess any religion or ism, including biblical Christianity, those sheets are there, and I know we have an usher here that will be glad to help you today. I'm also looking forward today to communing with all of you and with the Lord again in our time to remember what He has done for us vividly on the cross of Calvary. So again, with all these things said, we have a lot of things before us, and let's bow in prayer at this time, and then we'll begin. Father, thank You once again for this day. Lord, a day is an important thing. Days are markers that You left in Your creative work. The Hebrew word is yom, and You had given days, a solar day, by Your creation for mankind. Lord, help us to number our days, as Psalm 90 says, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us, Lord, to get wiser sooner than later. And I pray today, Lord, that our eyes would be open, that our hearts would be exposed before You this day, Lord. I know that my heart has needs, and it is not right before You at all times. I know that that is another thing that goes along with all of us in humanity. I pray today, Lord, You'd expose us, but also that You would show Yourself as a merciful God to us, Lord. We're needy. We are not helpless and not hopeless, but we sometimes resist You, O Father, and we ask Your forgiveness today. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who came and paid the penalty for our sins in our place. and for your Holy Spirit that comes and indwells, comes alongside the believer and comforts and guides. We give you thanks and praise today for the triune God, the God of the Bible. Now, Lord, I know that those that have come through the doors today, we may have baggage and burdens that we are bearing. I pray today you'd allow us to release those into your care. You tell us through your servant Peter to cast all of our cares on you. You care for us, and I thank you for that today, Lord. I pray today, Lord, for those that are not here for various reasons as well. We know some of our flock are critically ill with health issues. We know there may be others who are disgruntled or discouraged. There may be some, Lord, that are vacationing. And there may just be some, Lord, that said, I'm going to take a pass today. And Lord, you know the hearts. I don't. But I pray today you'd speak to all of those concerned. We even pray for those that may be listening over the internet. Father, once again, the goal today is changed lives. The goal today is a soul to be saved if there's someone that would realize today their neediness before you. And so, Father, now at this time, without further ado, I just humbly ask for your help. This is not a deep biblical message in and of itself today, but it should cause us to search our own hearts and to be very cautious, Lord, how we operate and how we associate. We need to know where other people are at. And thank you, Lord, that we are a church that has freedom and openness here to study about things and compare it to your scriptures. So help us, Lord, to be well-informed and not be ignorant, as your servant Paul has said. Now, Lord, we do pray for the upcoming elections this week and for the power that you've given us and privilege of a vote. And, Lord, I pray today that everyone will take that very seriously as to how they operate with that under your guidance. And I ask that you'd help me, Lord, as the weak link in the chain today to bring this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friends in Christ, last week at the end of the service, a request was made for today's subject, comparing and contrasting another religion to biblical Christianity. And you know, in the two previous weeks, we looked at Islam. In any given religion or ism, and by the way, whenever you see isms on the end of a word, you want to be careful right there with that very thing. But let me just say this, there are so many derivatives and combinations and little rabbit trails that you can go on any given religion, you have to be very careful to explore things cautiously before you endorse anything. I even encourage you today here at Fruitland Baptist Church with a tagline I've used all through my ministry. Don't take all the things to heart that I say unless they're proven in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are sure, they are certain, they are eternal. I am faulty. I can make mistakes. I love to dialogue about theological things at any time with you, but my tagline has always been, I don't endorse any pastors, including myself. So you need to be careful and you need to be warned. There are many traps out there. And when we are ignorant, when our eyes are not opened, we will fall and be snared in those traps. Anyway, the request was the Amish. And as you know, and obviously you saw the title, and I gave it to you. And so we will touch on that subject this morning in a general way, because the Amish belief system has many facets and cannot be lumped into one because it is very diverse. So I want to just tell you that right away. Remember our short list of six. Folks, I ask you to pray for me at this time. For some reason, I struggle sometimes with these glasses. So things that are not there appear, and things that appear are not there. So, Lord, help me. Remember our short list of six evidences that separate biblical Christianity from Christianity, in parentheses, in general, or other religions and isms, as I said, and you will be able to evaluate quickly where things stand and how you should approach it. Let me just also say this. We are blessed here at Fruitland Baptist Church to have our doctrinal statement right on our website. There's also my doctrinal statement personally. You can know lots about me. I want to tell you, most churches don't have all that stuff. And this is not a closed group. This is an open group. And I'm going to, as long as I'm here, boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. So whether, you know, whoever comes after me or whatever, okay. I mean, I'm here and the Lord will have to help me the best I can. But we have a great privilege here. So I want to say that I do admire the Amish for much of what they stand for. And by the way, I'm not a person who is just superficially acquainted with the Amish. Because over the years, I've done quite a bit of business at the Sale Barn. I've done business with that community over there with vegetables and produce. Some of you in this room have even gone over there with me. And we've talked to some of these people personally. And I do know a few of them fairly closely. And so we're going to explore a little bit this morning what they actually stand for. Is it in alignment with biblical Christianity? I'll just say this, I do admire them, and I am on page with them in many ways regarding our mode in society and their self-sufficiency and their separation from government influence. But I could not agree wholeheartedly with their views in general in doctrinal areas. And we'll look at that this morning. I have visited with several Amish over the years, and I have met what I believe are born-again people. By the way, that's true in any given place. We're not the judge. Jesus is the judge. But you'll know evidences of people that have been born again under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll give you one quick one. You start to talk about Jesus with anyone, you'll know by their eyes and their reactions real quick. Because you know what? Jesus is a divider of men over spiritual issues. And someone who is not under the blood of Jesus Christ will want to end that conversation very quickly. You'll find that out. So anyway, you can do that. We are not the judge. We can make an assessment. In the Greek, there's two words, krino and anakrino. One means to condemn. We have no right to that. But the other one means to assess. And we do have the capabilities to make an assessment. And why would we want to assess someone? Because we don't want to see anyone end up in hell. We want to have them know the Savior, right? The Savior, Jesus Christ. So I have visited with several over the years. And I do believe there are some that are born-again people. That's my opinion. But it is also a closed and works-based component to salvation that is not biblical. I'll lay that out to you this morning. But I do encourage you to interact with them about the Lord, but I would not endorse all of their doctrines. So let's explore that together this morning. First of all, some background on the Amish. They get their name from a man named Jacob Ammon. Jacob Ammon, born in 1693, who originally identified as a Mennonite. Now, our closest Amish settlement around here is where? Kelowna, yeah. And let me just say, it is a diverse settlement, and in that settlement, you also have many that are Mennonites. Okay? I'll try to explain briefly a little of those differences. By the way, we're related to those people spiritually in some ways. Okay? And what I'm going to teach you here today is probably not heard very often in any churches, but you know me, I like to walk on the wild side sometimes. We are known as Fruitland Baptist Church. But there was a group that can be traced, and it's been able to be traced long way in history, but in a closer way to the Middle Ages, around the 1500s and so forth, there was a group called the Anabaptists. Now, who were they? Were they Baptists called Anna? Well, yes, they were, but that wasn't their given name. Anna means again. Anna means again. And so what this was, to cut to the chase quickly in this, these people come from the roots like we do here. They come from Roman Catholicism and from Reformed theology, which says our baptism is at least part of what saves us. The Bible says no such thing. So these people said, hey, our minds have been opened. The Spirit's opened us up. We found we're saved. How? By grace through faith. And by the way, you know, baptism is not the first thing that we should do. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit, but water baptism, and I'll have more to say on this, is something that comes later. It's something that comes after we're saved to identify ourselves in Christ, death, burial. Thank you. So what takes place up here? I tell you what, I'm praying for some baptisms. The baptismal's been dry for too long. I want to come and get my clothes wet. Amen, Shirley? It's identification. So what these people did, they were scripturally baptized. And I'll talk about that more in just a minute here. Not all of these folks by immersion, but they realized that baptism is for believers. Okay? So we have roots of people that have separated from the false teaching. By the way, this morning, I'm not a Protestant. What? Neither am I a Roman Catholic. I identify as a Bible-believing Christian with the Baptist heritage. That's why we should never take that sign down out there. Because we are people who have separated from false teaching and have adhered to the Bible. Now, you can spread that all around town because most of those folks don't even know that. But that's the facts, and you can check them out. It's the facts. Anyway, they get their name from Jacob Ammon, who originally identified as a Mennonite, a follower of Menno Simons. These are Swiss people. Switzerland, that's where they came from. He was also a part of the Anabaptist movement, as I said, in Switzerland. And I explained to you what Anabaptists are. And praise the Lord for those that found the truths in scriptures and came out of false teaching. And praise God for that today as well. In the middle 1700s, though, as there always is in churches, what is there in churches? Woodrow. Did I hear you say splits? I got to get a better hearing aid, you know. But that's right. There's always trouble in the church. By the way, if you came here to Fruitland thinking this is a trouble-free place, not the case. It's a volatile place. You know why it's volatile? Because there's a battle going on between Satan and the Lord. And Satan has a lot of influence in the church. Let's kick him out. Let's put Jesus in the middle. He's here today, by the way. Welcome, Jesus. Two or more are gathered. He's here with us. Better not ever forget that either, folks. You know, it's important to come and meet Jesus. He came to meet with us. So these things are important. Anyway, this is what they got into it over, Ammon and Menno Simons, over a thing called shunning. I didn't say shunting, I said shunning. That when people fell out of fellowship in a church, what happened, and there are some biblical basis for this. There is church discipline, which is talked about. But, you know, even if someone has to be removed from the church, when you see them downtown, what do? Turn your back? You know, people that maybe have had to be disciplined from the church for biblical reasons are welcome to what? Come back! But you know how it goes with the hard-hearted people that we are. Well, they kicked me out. By the way, we don't kick anyone out. Here at Fruitland, we're gracious. Probably more gracious than we should be about some things. But we want people to get it right. Help me to get it right. Anyway, he took off. Shunning is when they do that. If you don't go along with their ways, you're what? Isn't that interesting? Shunned, yeah. Obviously, shunned. Okay. And the more modern ways that the Mennonites were headed, according to Ammon. He took a harder stand on the shunning and separation from the modern world. Someone read for me Romans 12, verse 2. I've got it here. I'll read it. It's okay. I'm here to service you today. Isn't that what this is, a church service? I'm having fun. But we ought to be active, folks. But get your scriptures out this morning. Here's his verse. And be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, 2. There it is. Don't be like the world. You agree with that verse? Absolutely. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Great verse. I just preached on it a few Sunday nights ago. Did I not? But you know what? There's also some other verses in the Bible that say these type of things. We still need to be living in the world, but not of the world. And so there again, folks, he took a very hard line, but the Mennonites did not. So you go down to Kelowna, and you'll still find Mennonites of different flavors, some quite liberal, some quite conservative. But that's the basis of that, okay? Anyway, about that same time, the mid-1700s, the followers of Ammon, we're coming to America, and that's the roots here, and they have been growing and territorially expanding to this day. Now, we talked about Islam being the fastest growing religion in the world. Well, I don't know, again, how to gauge the Amish because it's such a diverse group of people there, but the Amish are a growing community. In case you didn't know it, there's more Amish here in the state of Iowa today than there was 10 years ago. Take a ride on the train, as I like to do. Not the freight trains like Dean's riding, but passenger trains. And you will, without fail, see several Amish riding the train. Okay? Maybe more on that later if I've got time. But it's expanding. Why do you suppose that is? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons. It may not be theological, but a lot of people are fed up with the way we live today. I got my hand up. I like simple living. Judy made a comment that I was wearing black today. And no, I'm not Johnny. I'm Johnny, but not Johnny Cash. My favorite song of Johnny's? I got it. Well, you're close, Judy. One piece at a time. Now, I don't want you to stray because that isn't theologically correct. Woody, you're smiling about that. You've heard it, haven't you? Yeah. Anyway, where was I at on this? Oh, they live a simplistic lifestyle. Is it an easy lifestyle? No, it's not. Probably very few of us today have hooked up our horse and buggy and wagon to come to church. Right? You remember the picture I used to post out here of the buggy sheds out at Peace Church? People actually made it to church every week, pretty much, and they even made it on time when they had to hitch up a horse and team, or team and wagon or buggy. Folks, we are living in a soft time for people in some ways. Anyway, we've got to go, got to go. There are 60 plus denominations in the Amish religion. Does everyone know what a denomination is? Look in your billfold. Oh, if you use credit cards, you won't be able to see it. Shirley, are you okay? Denominations are what? Categorizations. In other words, you like to have pictures of Grant in your billfold rather than pictures of who's on the one? George Washington, right. We all agree on that, right? Yeah. Now, I'm just going to name a few of these because I can't name 60 this morning. By the way, if we don't get done with this today, we'll have to come back or monkey around to get something. Brenda, you okay with that? Come back next week? Okay, good enough. Well, there's called the New Order Amish. The New Order do believe that you can have phones and electricity and some modern conveniences. You have the Old Order that believes that there should be no modern conveniences. You can take a cursory look down at Kelowna when you go by. If there's no power lines going into the place and no generator, they're Old Order Amish. Okay? Excuse me? You know, Brenda, I've never looked at that. I haven't, Brenda. I've been to their houses, but the one day that I was at one, it looked like the food was good. I observed that. Curtains and windows. I can tell you a secret here today. The curtains in our living room windows have been, they've been washed. Many, those curtains have been there since the year Kim and I got married. Patsy, would you have that in your house? They've been clean, but she's never found anything that she liked better. So they're still there. And we do wash the windows occasionally. I won't tell you the specific pattern. You've got then another, I'm just going to mention four today, but up by Hazleton. Does anyone know where Hazleton's at? Up by Olwine. There's another sect of Amish up there. They're Old Order, but they're called Hookeye Amish because they don't believe in zippers or shoelaces. They fasten their clothes with hooks and eyes in their shoes. Okay? You'll hear more about this as we're going along. You don't believe me, do you, some of you? Let's go up to Hazleton. And then you have another sect that I'll just mention today, and that's the Beachy Amish, and they're one of the most modern and liberal, again, by their standards. So what you've got here, you've got a hodgepodge of all kinds of thinking about these things. So let's get into that. By the way, does someone have a question? Okay, I usually don't do a lot of that in the mornings, but let's go on. Anyway, it'd be a great research project if someone would want to document and classify all this. Anyway, another thing that you'll find about the Amish, this is just an interesting thing. They're against photography on the basis of the Second Commandment. Second Commandment says we are not to make any graven image. Now, personally, I couldn't agree with that because I think what God is talking about there, he's talking about an image of himself. We are not supposed to make something that we perceive as God. He cannot be put into an image. We know him through the form of his son Jesus. We haven't seen it, but we have the record. But God does not want us to worship anything, again, that is not him. We got to be very careful about that. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but they see that as, you know, an image, photograph. Anyway, just thought I'd bring that out to you. By the way, they worship in their homes or in church houses. Now, I'm not endorsing you to skip church here at Fruitland on a Sunday, but if you should be on vacation over by Kelowna to take a drive in the country, what will you find? You'll find the Amish worshiping in homes or in a few of their meeting houses or a church building, okay? Again, we want to remind ourselves, the church is not the building. The church is the people. This is an identity where we meet, but the church are the believers in this room, okay? And so they've got that right. And their services, most of the time, especially in the old order, are in German. Now listen to this. There's usually 3 hours of preaching and a break for lunch. Yeah. There's a variety of speakers. Some of the churches have instruments. Others sing a cappella. And men and women sit separately. So let's stand this morning and get ourselves separated. Ho, ho, ho. They have three offices in the church. And what I'm getting to, we're going to quit in about 5 minutes. Is that okay if we come back? Because we got to be done decently. 1440 Corinthians first, let all things be done. On time. No, decently and in order. Three offices. There's the office of the bishop in a local church. Okay, the bishop. The bishop is responsible for sermons, for scripture, for counseling, for baptizing, for discipline, and for a thing that's called the ordnung. Write that one down. The ordnung. We would get the word from that, the order or the ordinance. In other words, the pastor, he's not, well, it's a name for a pastor, but who they call the bishop is responsible for that flock, and he lays down what takes place. What would you think if I were to run Fruitland Baptist Church? It's okay. It would be what? It'd be worse than it is. Would you want a pastor commanding you directly about what you did or did not do with the ability to throw you out of a church? It's a dictator. By the way, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in Baptist churches. Some of you don't like me so well because I'm not like that. I said to someone this morning, Kathy, I think I said it to you, we need to work as a team. I do need to set the pace, but we need to work together. Responsibilities. Then they also have the office of ministers who also do some of the preaching. They help people that have needs. They help the bishop. They do visiting, and they advise the bishop. And then lastly, they have one person normally in each church who has the title of deacon. That's the word diakonos in the Greek, and it means a servant. And what they are responsible for is to coordinate mutual aid, both financial and other, in assistance to the flock. So they've got some of those things close to the biblical office, but again, we would believe in congregational government, like we find in Acts chapter 2, where the people have a say as to what takes place under God. Okay? So you're right, it's very much top-down influence. Now, a few other things. They also have rigid gender classifications and roles, but I will say this, to the most part, they're very biblical. Most only have an education through the 8th grade. Okay? You can also go to Kelowna and see the country schools where they meet. They are pacifistic. They do not believe in war or fighting. I still think some of them probably fight once in a while. Don't you? Thank you, Sandra. That's a very sweet spirit. Yeah, I think maybe even physically once in a while, but I could be wrong. They take no government funds. You know why they don't take them? Because they believe very strongly in the separation of church and state. I do too, and we do in our Constitution as a church. When you take from the government, you'll be a slave to the government. But the Bible also counterbalances that with we need to do the right things with the government as well, as long as they don't what? Contradict. Again, by the way, most even the Amish who drive their buggies on the roads pay taxes. They don't pay Social Security tax because they don't receive. Because you know what they do? They help each other. And they're dead right on that. That's how the church is supposed to be. Okay? They don't pay Social Security tax, but they still do pay other taxes, income tax and so forth. They believe in the separation of church and state. They take no oaths or allegiances to anything. They believe in a simple, separated life. Okay? Now, in our last 2 minutes, start. Some key theological views. Now, this is where we need to perk up, because I admire them, as I said. But we need to understand the theology, because we are not put here in a vacuum. We're here to do what? To try to lead people to Jesus Christ, to introduce the biblical basis. By the way, freedom! J. Don, where is J.? There's J. Don back there. In our class this morning, we're talking about Daniel. And old Nebuchadnezzar tried to do what with the people? He says, you do it my way or it's the highway. You get a haircut right here. Folks, we are given freedom. God does not force you to do anything. He wants you to do certain things. He wants you in a walk personally with Him, but He does not force anyone. And neither should man. And this is where they're coming from. Anyway, here it is. And this varies, once again, my disclaimer. When you have 60-plus different thinkings on things, that can be pretty diverse. But in general, they believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, but obedience to the church during their lifetime has a bearing on heaven and hell. Did a red flag come up? It does for me. Living and lifestyle are very important, and salvation is also by participating in Christ's suffering, yielding and dying to self, more important than faith alone. Now, we can look at that. Jesus tells us what? Take up our cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Okay? But folks, great salvation by grace through faith supersedes that. Our works are important after we're saved, but it is Jesus' works that save us. It is not a combination of both. Amen? Didn't Brother James say something about that in his epistle? Yeah. Our faith is shown through our works. Okay? And that's the difference there that we would see. They would believe that it's prideful to accept salvation by grace through faith. Because it literally is saying, you know, I'm worthy of something when I'm not. So they look at it as a prideful thing. I look at it as, thank you, Jesus. I say all the time, if there was hope for David, there's hope for me and for you. I didn't mean Dave Brockert. I meant David, Jesse's son, back there a few years with the sheep. But there's hope for both of us, right, Dave? Amen. I got to get going here. And they also believe that no one can be sure salvation is guaranteed. 1 John 5:13 says what? These things are written that you may know that you have the Son of God and that you have eternal life. I'm paraphrasing that verse. Well, we're out of time today. Are we okay with coming back? Page and a half. Brenda, you okay? Because you're calling the shots here on this message today. Bottom line, let me read my disclaimer, though, quickly here. Just in case someone doesn't come back. For some reason or another. There is much more if you can study about the Amish, but they are our warning flags and in some circumstances. As I said in opening, I admire the Amish. I could fellowship in certain circumstances. I'll explain that more next week. But as a whole, at least some of their theology does not align with the Bible, but is humanistically tainted and mysteriously undefinable in many circumstances. In other words, when you talk to them, you're going to come away not knowing anymore. And I found that. even when you talk with them. And by the way, we're called to what? No, we're not called. I said they call us what? Dean? The English. Dean, I'm looking at your beard this morning. Did you trim it lately? Okay, someone's going to come down on me. No. The married men have to wear beards. Okay. Anyway, their practice and their faith bear a caution for the Bible-believing Christian. That's what I want to say. Amen. More next week. Lonnie, let's come up. This morning, let's stand if you're able. We're going to sing. Well, no, just remain seated. We're going to sing this morning, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table this morning. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, richest So again today, we're going to celebrate the message of the cross. All the world pre-cross looks forward to it, and everything that's taken place since then looks back to it. It's the central focus of all history and about the one who went to the cross for our sakes. We gather today at the Lord's table to be vividly reminded of what Christ has done for us and to celebrate fellowship with Him and our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is also time to take account of our hearts rather than participate unworthily to our own detriment. You've heard that from 1 Corinthians 11 before. If any of the above factors are in your life, it is best to pass these elements by and set these things straight with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say this, and most importantly, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing to do today. Bow the knee and receive Him into your life. Allow Him to forgive you and become His child today. I'd love to talk to you about that later. But that is a personal thing. This time is a time of personal introspection as we pass these things out today. It's with joy that Lonnie and I are going to pass these elements out to you today. And so at this time, I'm going to pray as we celebrate and remember what Christ did in His body, His sinless body that bore our sins in our place and took the penalty of death, that we might be given freedom and forgiven. Father, we give thanks today for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your obedient, precious, only Son, the Son of God, who came to this earth for 33 years, was not tainted by sin. He could not have sinned. He was pure. He was the only sacrifice that could redeem us and pay the price for our filthy sin. Now we thank You today, Lord, that He went to that cross to take the sins of the whole world in His body as He was sacrificed there on the tree and His life was ended. Lord, He was the perfect sacrifice, the only one that could pay for the sins of the world. Thank You today, Lord Jesus, that You went willingly, You obeyed Your Father. And we thank You, Father God, that You sent Him for our sakes. Now as we pass this bread, may we look at this again as the example of His body, which was broken for us, as we do likewise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'll take the outside, Lonnie. Thank you. Thank you. This morning our communion reading comes from Matthew chapter 26. Be sure to look in the Gospels for the account of when Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." After the breaking of the bread, he also took the cup. Lonnie, I'm going to ask you to thank our Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blood that remits our sin, that covers our sin.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And in spite of the sin of this world, Lord, you found a way for us to be with you one day. And that's through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We think of the blood that was shed, Lord, as he hung on that cross after the awful beatings he took. He didn't die on the cross, Lord. He gave up his life for us. There's significance in that, Lord. Man couldn't kill you. He had to give his life for us, and which you did. Help us to know it today, Lord. Help us to know that your blood covers all. And here's the new symbols today, Lord, we partake of them. Help us see, realize, and understand the true love that you have for us, Lord. And all we have to do is believe. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to memorialize this and understand what it means. Be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's start on this side this time. First, let me say I'm so very sorry there were not enough cups for all this morning. I'd run over and get you some, but those that were not able to get one, I pray that you'll forgive us for that. And that again, symbolically at least, you can understand this cup represents, it's the fruit of the vine, Christ's sinless blood that was shed for our sakes. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. You may receive the cup. Well, as you heard, they usually customarily sang a hymn. We've done this in different ways here at Fruitland, but today let's rise, if you're able, and we're going to sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made," and I'll dismiss us with the Aaronic benediction. Let's sing together.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great afternoon in the Lord. Excuse me.